This is the Greenville Cub Scouts, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGSC Akro Catskill of Hudson.
Very good.
Meow. We recommend this station.
There are so many extra web streams at WGXC and wavefarm.org this week. Go to wavefarm.org/listen at any time to find all sorts of web stream from the live microphones at the bottom of the Wave Farm pond and microphones out in the forest at Wave Farm to performances and town meetings all over the area. Monday and Tuesday, the city of Hudson has a public hearing on its budget on Monday at 6 p.m., and then a special meeting about that budget at 6:30 p.m. Tuesday, November 19th, followed by its regular City of Hudson town meeting at 7 p.m. Tuesday, November 19th. Wednesday, November 20th, the town of Catskill has its town meeting, and you can hear that at wavefarm.org/listen at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, November 21st, there's two live performances Thursday night at 8 p.m., first, from New York City, live from the Fridman Gallery, Leah Bertucci performs with Amirtha Kadimbia, her Phase Eclipse record release. That's at 8 p.m. live from the Fridman Gallery in New York City. Then also at 8 p.m. live from the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Party of the Sun performs. Also Lady Jane and Catskill's Alex Pede Wernquist opens the show. Thursday, November 21st, two shows you can listen to online at wgxc.org. Friday, November 22nd, another show from the Avalon Lounge. This time, Bunny Brains performs at 9 p.m. Friday, November 22nd, featuring Dan Seward, who hosts the Battlefield Earth Show Tuesday nights at 10 p.m. on WGXC. Saturday, November 23rd, another show at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Bill Lee, Jeff Beam, and PJ Gray DJs later at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, Saturday, November 23rd, starting at 8:30 p.m. on the radio at 90.7 FM, WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Hilo Catskill, cafe, bar, art gallery, and performance space located at 365 Main Street, Catskill, New York. Wavefarm's WGXC is pleased to broadcast live from Hilo every Tuesday morning starting at 9 a.m. In addition, Hilo live events are streamed and broadcast in conjunction with the Wave Farm Radio Transmit Partner Program.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Becca Van Kay of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Hello and welcome to Music of Recent Centuries. Today we have a special program focused around Mozart and minor keys in general. So we'll let you just listen to this piece, we'll let it finish out, and then we'll talk about it and introduce the guest. Thank you for listening. This is Music of Recent Centuries.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was one of only two Mozart piano concertos written in a minor key. But before we get on to that, you are listening to Music of Recent Centuries on WGXC 90.7 FM. And I am Miles, as you probably know if you listen to this show ever. And I have Rafi in the studio with... Wait, I have Rafi in the studio Hello. With me. He has been on the show before. He plays the piano. He's interested in classical music, so... We have a Mozart and minor keys sort of.
Yeah,
so we have a couple. We have a Beethoven, maybe a Dvorak if we have time. But
yeah, Mozart really didn't write that much in minor keys. As Miles said, this is one of only two piano concertos that he wrote in a minor key, and this one's in D minor. It's his 20th. The other one's his 24th in C minor, and so even though there are not very many of them, his pieces in a minor key. Are regarded as some of his best works, and this piece is probably regarded as his best piano concerto that he wrote, this number 20.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so I think the reason that Mozart's minor key pieces are so good is that in a minor key, Mozart's able to express a lot of passion and drama that he's not really able to in a major key. And I think it's interesting because these minor keys and these emotional, passionate pieces... really are some of the first foreshadowings of the intense emotional pieces to come in the Romantic era with Chopin or even Beethoven. And so today we are going to focus specifically on pieces that Mozart wrote in a minor key, but specifically in G minor. We started us off with some D minor, but now we're going to segue into more G minor. And this key was very important to Mozart. He wrote a lot of his pieces, minor pieces, in G minor. And so now we are going to play his piano quartet in G minor.
Yes, his piano quartet in G minor? Yeah, G minor. Yeah. Okay, here it is.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we just had a slight technical difficulty. But we're bringing back the music in just 1 second. Okay, so that was Mozart's Piano Quartet in G minor.
Yes. So this quartet, well, let me just tell you, Alfred Einstein, in a 1945 study of Mozart, had said this quote, and this will tell you a little bit about it. The wild command that opens the first movement and stamps the whole movement with its character, remaining threateningly in the background and bringing the movement to its inexorable close, might be called the fate motive, with exactly as much melody with exactly as much justice as the four-note motive of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony.
Okay, that's great. So now we are gonna try and patch in a special guest, Professor Gopinath from the University of Minnesota. He's a music professor. So with Daniel Karpowitz. Yes. So we're gonna just try and patch him in. So Rafi, do you just want to talk a little bit while we work? And here he is. Okay, so we're gonna bring him up. Okay, so hello.
Hello.
Oh. Hello. Can you hear us?
Hi. Yes, I can. Oh. This is Sumath Gopinath. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you. I think we
can
hear.
I can hear.
Great.
Perfect.
We're outside, but it's mostly quiet except for the occasional siren.
Uh huh.
Great.
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 So we just played Mozart's Piano Quartet in G minor.
Wonderful piece.
As I understand, you're familiar with that.
I am familiar with it. Yeah, I played the first couple of movements of it.
Oh, great. Is there anything you want to tell us about it, or something that you've like about it? Or?
You know, I don't have the score with me, and I'm not thinking uh-huh. about it specifically, but I mean, I guess the question is, given that you're doing a show on Mozart's G minor pieces and on the minor mode in general, is mm-hmm. that correct?
Yeah.
So I thought, are we in the air right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So I thought what I'd do is just talk a little bit about what the minor mode came to mean in the 18th century, so that it gives some context for your listeners.
Oh, great.
And to think about like why the minor mode and G minor in particular might have been important for Mozart, so that we can just get a sort of sense of the lay of the land as we think about, you know, and listen to these pieces. So one of the things I wanted to just mention is that mm-hmm. in the 18th century, there's an underappreciated, profound influence that takes place in classical music, and that is mm-hmm. the influence of comic opera on the sort of broader sort of development of instrumental music as it is taking place. And we have to remember, instrumental music is a kind of emerging genre as not seen as quite as important as it would be as you start to move into and through the 18th century. And so what happens is that there's a new sort of form that emerges in the 18th century. There's an important composer named Pergolesi who writes an opera called La Serva Padrona, and that opera takes place right in the beginning of the 18th century. And this mm-hmm. opera is in the major mode, and it's funny, and it introduces these like characters who are working class or lower class, and they are presenting these sort of topsy-turvy, comic, bizarre situations that are very much a part of comic opera's sort of sound and culture. And what happens is over the course of the 18th century, all these composers get fascinated by this new emerging genre of opera, which is very different mm-hmm. from the earlier opera forms that had appeared before. And they privilege the major mode.
Yeah.
And that influence starts to help contribute to a change that takes place in the 18th century, whereby prior to this, the minor mode and the major mode, which are, you know, sort of two modes emerging from an earlier model of, you know, a variety of diatonic modes, had been more or less seen as equal. But by the time you get moved through the 18th century, over the course of this period, the major mode becomes dominant, which is to say, most of the pieces of the period are written in the major mode. Mm-hmm. That's an important change.
Yeah.
And so when you see then composers like Mozart, who are very much aware of and contributing to this development, Mozart mm-hmm. himself was a, you know, master writer of comic operas. He also wrote, you know, serious operas. They were a part of his, an important part of what he did. But it's the comic opera that we really associate with Mozart. It's the sort of ribald hijinks of the Marriage of Figaro, the sort of cute and funny and Masonic and weird singspiel of the magic flute. You know, these are the things. And again, a lot of this music, most of it's in the major mode. And so this is part of that history that led essentially the minor mode to become a special, unusual thing that the composers would compose in. Because before then, again, like if you compare to Bach or to Purcell or to composers from the 17th century, largely they would be split roughly evenly between major and minor mode. And so, but by the time you get to Mozart, it's a special thing to do. And so Mozart reserved it for a particularly important, expressive, you know, matters or issues that he wanted to deal with. Mm-hmm. For example, the A minor piano sonata, which, as people describe, was written in reaction to the death of his mother, would be one of a variety of things. And, you know, we don't know all the things that Mozart was reacting to. And I'm no Mozart expert. I mean, I've written about and thought about some of his work. But anyway, just to give you that context, that why was Mozart doing these sort of remarkable things with the minor mode? It's because the minor mode itself was a special thing, and he got that sense of its specialness and used that. And then the second thing is, of course, as you know, he's doing this particularly with G minor. You've got the G minor piano quartet, you've got the string quintet, you've got the two G minor symphonies. There are a few other pieces in there, and this is a very much a you know, thing that people have talked about for years. You know, that he had this special relationship with this key, but it's actually also related to the specialness of the minor mode in general. So that's maybe the thing to, I think, to convey to your listeners.
Oh, great. That's very interesting. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. That helps to give some context of where this is coming from Mozart.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you so much.
Do you have
any
questions for me or anything else do you think I could be helpful with?
No, I think that's really interesting. It's helpful because I personally didn't know about how the opera helped create the emergence of this major mode as kind of the dominant key that was used. And then Mozart kind of breaks that trend with these few key important pieces.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Great. Well, thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Great. So that was great to hear from the professor.
Mm-hmm. That was great. Provided some great insight.
Context to what we're talking about.
So now we're going to transition to another piece that Mozart wrote in G minor, one that Professor Gopinath actually talked about when he was talking with us. And this piece is Mozart's symphony, his 40th symphony in G minor.
Okay, here is the 40th symphony in G minor. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So that was Mozart's 40th Symphony in G minor. I just want to mention, I really like that piece. I like this. There's a theme that I really like.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's interesting. This piece was a huge influence on many romantic composers who came after Mozart. Probably one of the most influential pieces that he wrote. It influenced, Mendelssohn, Rachmaninoff. Mendelssohn is violin concerto, probably. Rachmaninoff, especially in his third piano concerto. The reason for this is that it explored things that hadn't been explored before by other composers. For instance, this kind of chromatic theme and this chromatic texture that he has, which Miles, I think, liked so much, was kind of never been explored before. And so he also uses kind of... He doesn't start out with a distinct or strict chords. He kind of starts out with an accompaniment where you don't quite know where it is yet. And so this kind of ambiguity is also hasn't been done before. And so,
yeah.
And it explores intensely passionate emotions. As we talked about, this is in G minor, and this is the key where Mozart loves to express his emotions in the fullest. And so it really does that. And this piece was one of three symphonies that Mozart composed during 6 weeks. And these were also his last three. This was in 1788. And so this was an extremely productive time for him, and this piece is really a success for composers to come.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so I think...
But before we go on to the next piece, I just want to just thank everybody who's listening. Since we are kind of drawing near to the end of the show, I just want to thank especially like my grandparents and my cousins who are in Brooklyn, who I think are listening. And just everybody for listening. Just thanks so much.
Yeah.
So now we're just going to move on to another piece.
Yeah, so this is Mozart's string quintet, and you'll never guess what key it's in. It's G minor.
Whoa. Okay.
And yeah, so this piece, if I could just say a little bit about it before we start.
Of course, because it might go to the end of the show, unfortunately.
And so this piece was... Mozart, he used the traditional string quartet, but he added a viola to it, which is interesting because...
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, Mozart actually is known sometimes for using violas and putting them in important positions. And this is kind of a way that, he kind of rebelled against his father and other people who were kind of important and established, because the viola wasn't really used that much to play solos, or really wasn't used that much in general. In his time, I think, and so his use of the viola is kind of interesting.
Interesting, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, wait, what's the next piece you're going to hear?
So it is his string quintet in G minor.
String quintet in G minor. So actually, we're nearing to the end, so I may as well just wrap up. It's been a great show having Rafi and our theme around Mozart in G minor. So thank you so much for listening. You're listening to... WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre Hudson Catskill, and this is music of recent centuries. Mm-hmm. I'm Miles Goldfarb. I'm the host of the show, and I have my friend and guest, Rafi.
I'm Rafi.
And it's been great. Make sure to tune into the show on the third Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. if you like the music.
Great. So this is his fourth string quintet in G minor.
And it's going to fade out the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.